Fili et Spiritu Sancti, Amen. Today the Church has the great joy of celebrating this solemnity of Saint Joseph. We need to be able to recognize the greatness of this man, person that God chose himself to be able to entrust our Blessed Lady and our Blessed Lord, the one who was there to provide and to protect, who was there to teach and to guide. And he hasn't stopped doing that. The Church celebrates not only just the feast of Saint Joseph, but also proclaims him to be the patron protector of the Church. And so just as he protected, provided for our Blessed Lady and our Lord, so he does still for the Church. And so he's so often forgotten, so often ignored, because when we read scripture, we read a few things about him, but we don't hear him say anything, and we don't have any great insight, particularly into Saint Joseph, and so we forget about him. But you can be guaranteed Jesus and Mary did not forget about him, and therefore neither does the Church. As you see, just even looking forward, you have the statue of Saint Joseph to your right. The Church places him in a very, very prominent spot because of what God has chosen him to do. It's interesting even reading that first reading, which obviously is about Moses, but how God chose him out of all of humanity for this particular task. That he entrusted all these things to him, and even with Moses, as with Saint Joseph, he trusted him with a covenant. With Moses, yes, he gave him the Ten Commandments, the law as it is written. Saint Joseph, he entrusted him with Jesus, who is our covenant. Far, far greater than the covenant that was given to Moses. So Moses, who was known for his meekness, I think was even bettered in Saint Joseph. We look at the meekness of this man, everything that he would have had to have dealt with. We all know how it is with people who are holy. They don't fit in. They're not like most people. Now you take not only Saint Joseph, who obviously was extraordinarily holy, but you take his wife, who is the holiest human person ever, and his stepson, who is God. They're not going to fit. They're not going to be like everyone else. And so all of the abuse that would have been heaped upon him, upon his family, and yet how he handled that with such grace. And we see why God chose him. Because he was holy. But that holiness doesn't just come all by itself. Other than our Blessed Lady, who was created that way. For the rest of us, that holiness is something that needs to be developed. And so throughout our lives, God places us in certain situations to be able to grow in virtue, to grow in holiness. Most of the time, we don't cooperate very well. Most of the time, we whine and complain and kick and scream. But God is going to try to give us the opportunities to be able to cooperate with him. Somebody like Saint Joseph, perhaps very differently from most of us, cooperated. And he grew to the heights of holiness. And yet even in the midst of that, recognizing the holiness that is there, recognizing that God had entrusted him with this extraordinary woman, and then suddenly she is with child. And we hear about this internal struggle that Saint Joseph deals with. He doesn't want to publicly expose her. So he decides to quietly divorce her. Not because he thought that she had done something wrong. More than anyone on the face of the earth, Saint Joseph knew the holiness of our Blessed Lady. Beyond knowing the holiness of Our Lady, they were married. We keep forgetting that and we think, oh, this is his betrothed. That means he's engaged. No, it does not. It means that they were married, but they hadn't yet moved into the same house together. That would normally be about a 6-month time period, but they are fully married. Marriage just isn't consummated. But in that particular marriage, it would have been a virginal marriage. And so he knew. He knew absolutely that Our Lady had not been unfaithful. Not only did he know her holiness, but she had already made a vow and an agreement in their own marriage that this was going to be virginal. And so the thought that she had violated that somehow is ludicrous. And so Saint Joseph, understanding the holiness of who this is, understanding obviously what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah, that a virgin would be with child and bear a son, understanding the role of this one particular woman who so many times was referred to in the Old Testament, which he would have known well, he sized things up very quickly. And he recognized himself in his great humility to be absolutely unworthy. And if God was going to choose this woman to do the greatest thing that humanity has ever known, he thought himself unworthy. Perhaps he thought himself arrogant for even thinking that he could be her spouse. And he was willing to back away. But at the same time, when that grace was given to him, that the angel appeared and spoke, Saint Joseph accepted and believed. Now we think about that. We know that Elizabeth, when Our Lady went to see her right after conceiving, Elizabeth knew that the child in her womb was the Son of God. I assume she would have told her husband. Beyond that, Saint Joseph was the next person to know about the incarnation. And we see no hesitation on his part in believing. He accepted the truth of who this was, and therefore he accepted the truth of who Our Lady was. And he accepted the truth of who he was, who God had called him to be in this mystery of the incarnation of the Son of God. This is the greatness of the man. Not so much that he had been elevated to such a position, but that he had such profound humility that he would do whatever God asked him to do. So now we bring that full circle. We say, you know what? Out of all humanity, God has chosen you also. Maybe not to have a position quite like Saint Joseph or like Moses did, but he's chosen you for the position that he has called you to. And guess what? We're not worthy of it either. Who are we that God should choose us? We're nobody. Saint Joseph wasn't nobody. He was actually the king. Wouldn't have known that because there hadn't been a king seated on the throne for several hundred years by that point. But he was Israel's king. But he didn't look at himself and say, I'm the king, and of course God would choose me. No, he didn't see himself worthy at all. Neither should we. We need to have humility. We need to be able to accept what God is asking us to do, no matter how great or how humble it may seem to us, because it doesn't matter. What God is asking of you is perfect for you. That's what we must understand. For instance, maybe you have a ton of ability, and God is asking you to do something very humble. That's more than likely because the pride, if he gave you something great to do, would have destroyed you. So don't question. Don't look at it and say, well, look, you're the one who gave me all this ability. Shouldn't I be doing something greater? If he wants you to do something greater, he'll let you know when it's time. Just do what he's asking you to do. That's what we learn from St. Joseph. And don't just do it to get by. And here's the man who is the king of Israel, and he's working as an artist, a carpenter. It's not just a carpenter. The word that's used there is a little broader than that. So just an artisan, somebody who works with all these different things. So he probably worked with wood and stone and various things. But anyway, he's just working as a laborer. He didn't see himself as too good for this. We can't either. We have to be able to have that humility that St. Joseph has. We have to have that patience that St. Joseph has. We have to have the charity that St. Joseph has. And ask him to help you to do that, especially for the men who are here. We need in our day an example of what it means to be a real man, because we don't have many of them in our society. This is a real man. He wasn't pounding his chest and thinking himself to be Mr. Macho. That has nothing to do with being a man. He was a man who loved God, who loved his wife, who loved his son, who was obedient to what the Lord was asking him to do, who became a phenomenally great saint. He was willing to die to himself, to put all of his own aspirations aside and do what God asked him to do. That's a real man. Someone who sacrificed himself for the people entrusted to his care. That's something all of us can learn and ask St. Joseph to help us so that we can accept what God is asking, embrace it, and live it to the best of our ability with our whole heart and soul to serve the Lord. That's what St. Joseph did. God has chosen you similarly to how he chose St. Joseph. And he's given you certain things, and he's asking you to do it the best that you can. And in so doing, like St. Joseph, to become a great saint.